Sure. Whenever you're tired, let me know. I'll holler.
I guess at least an hour passed before I noticed those deep scratches in his right hand. They were wicked. Three puffy red lines about a quarter of an inch apart. He must have seen me looking at them because he said,
"Beauties, aren't they? They're gonna be scars someday. What an animal."
Whatever it was, it must have been pretty big and vicious to have done that.
Right on both counts, New York. I was tussling with the most dangerous animal in the world. A woman.
Must have been Tarzan's mate. Looks like you lost the bout.
Certainly wasn't a draw. You know, there ought to be a law against games with claws.
Yeah.
I tossed her out of the car in her ear. Am I wrong? Give a lift to a tomato, you expect it to be nice, don't you? After all, what kind of a dame some rides? Sunday school teachers? Little witch. Must have thought she was riding with some fall guy. And me, who's been booking horses around racetracks since I was 20. I've known a million dames like her. 2 million.
Yeah.
Stopped the car, opened the door. Take it on the yard, the Duffy sister, I told her.
Sister
Duffy. As I was down, huh? But if you want to see a real scar, brother, get a load of this.
Wow.
I got that one, too.
Julie?
Yeah, we're just kidding, of course. My dad owned a couple of Franco-Prussian sabers. Kept them on the wall for decorations. Well, one day, the kid and I took them down. The old man wasn't around. Had a duel.
Je vous invite à l'indécence de ce tango presque argentin où je ferai la connaissance de votre corps contre le mien. Où vous ferez la découverte de cet exotique entretien. Lorsque la musique est offerte, il faut la suivre, sachez-le bien. Entrez dans mon tango et je vous danserai, les yeux à demi-clos, perdus au milieu des reflets de la musique qui nous emmène. Quand les violons racontent leur peine, nos doigts emmêlés l'un à l'autre, comme les pétales d'une fleur, vous prouveront que je suis vôtre et que vous m'êtes proche de cœur. Je vous dirai en espagnol les mots d'amour que je connais et nous verrons bien qui s'affole le premier des deux sous l'effet. Entrez dans mon tango et je vous danserai, les yeux à demi clos, perdus au milieu des reflets de la musique qui nous emmène. Quand les violons racontent leur peine, je te tutoie, nous avons l'âge de nous dire tu sans se connaître, et puisque le tango t'engage pour toujours à me reconnaître, autant ne pas faire de manière et nous mettre à nous embrasser, puisqu'on a baissé les lumières pour ne pas nous intimider. Entre dans mon amour, je t'argentinerai jusqu'au lever des jours pour voir le pays qui te plaît. Le tango seul est responsable.
We'll be right back. job, Chet.
Drove all that night while Hess was slept like a log. After a while, I began to get sleepy myself. I was happy, though. Soon I'd be with Sue again. The long trip was practically over, and there'd be no more hoofing it down the concrete. I began to think of the future, which couldn't have been brighter if I'd embroidered it with neon lights. Poor belly can do to your imagination.
Your eyes blue, your kisses blue, I never knew what they could do. I can't believe that you're in love with me. You're telling everyone you know I'm on your mind. I can't believe that you're in love with me.
Mr. Haskell. Mr. Haskell. Haskell, wake up, it's raining. Don't you think we ought to stop and put up the top? Mr. Haskell, I'm going to put up the top. But from then on, something else stepped in and shunted me off to a different destination. I had to pick it up. But when I pulled open that door, Mr. Haskell, what's the matter? Are you hurt? Are you hurt, Mr. Haskell? Darkness, I'll listen to you. But I know what you're going to hand me even before you open your mouth. You're gonna tell me you don't believe my story about Haskell died and give me that don't make me laugh expression on your smug face. I saw it once and was dead. I was in for it. Who would believe he fell out of the car? Why, if Haskell came too, which of course he couldn't, even he would swear I conked him over the head for his dough. Yes, I was in for it. Instinct told me to run, but then I realized it was hopeless. There were lots of people back down the road who could identify me. That gas station guy and the waitress. I would be in a worse spot then, trying to explain why I beat it. The next possibility was to sit tight and tell the truth in the costume. But that would be crazy. They'd laugh at the truth. I'm not having my head in the noose. So what else was there to do but hide the body and get away in the car? I couldn't leave the car there with him in the gully.
That would be like erecting a tombstone.
Idea was to cover him with brush, not to rob him. But then I remembered that even if I only drove the car for 100 miles or so, I would need money for gas. Besides, it was stupid of me to leave all that money on a dead man. Not only that, I'd have to take his driver's license in case I was stopped for something. I didn't like to think about it, but by that time I'd done just what the police would say I did, even if I didn't.
Thank you.
Market Center, I pulled up for water. There was a woman.
Hey, you! Come on if you want to ride.
How are you going?
How far are you going?
That took me by surprise, and I turned my head to look her over. She was facing straight ahead, so I couldn't see her eyes. But she was young, not more than 24. Man, she looked as if she'd just been thrown off the crummiest freight train in the world. Yet in spite of this, I got the impression of beauty. Not the beauty of a movie actress, mind you, or the beauty you dream about when you're with your wife, but a natural beauty. A beauty that's almost homely because it's so real. Then suddenly she turned to face me.
How far did you say you were going?
Los Angeles.
L.A.? L.A.'s good enough for me, mister.
Sounds great.
What'd you say?
Oh, nothing, just thinking out loud.
People get in trouble for doing that.
What's your name?
You can call me Vera if you like.
You live in Los Angeles?
No.
Where are you coming from?
Oh, back there.
Needles?
No.
Oh, sure, Phoenix. You look just like a Phoenix girl.
Are the girls in Phoenix that bad?
The girl must have been pretty tired because she fell asleep not 20 minutes after she stepped into the car. She lay sprawled out with her head resting against the far door, like Haskell. I didn't like that part of it much, but I didn't wake her up. It wasn't that this girl still worried me. I'd gotten over that funny feeling I had when she looked at me. Which I put down, it's just my jangled nerves. With her eyes closed and the tenseness gone out of her, she seemed harmless enough. And instead of disliking her, I began to feel sorry for her. The poor kid probably had had a rough time of it. Who was she anyway? And why was she going to Los Angeles? And where'd she come from in the first place? The only thing I knew about her was her name. Not that it made any difference. A few hours more and we'd be in Hollywood. I'd forget where I parked the car and look up Sue. This nightmare of being a dead man would be over. And his name was, well, it was no business of mine.
Where did you leave his body? Where did you leave the owner of this car? You're not fooling anyone. This buggy belongs to a guy named Haskell. That's not you, mister.
You're out of your mind. That's my name, Charles Haskell. I can prove it. It's my driver's
license. Save yourself the trouble, mister. Having Haskell's wallet only makes it worse. It just so happens I rode with Charlie Haskell all the way from Louisiana. He picked me up outside of Shreveport.
You rode?
You heard me.
Then it all came back to me. All the talk about dueling and scars and scratches. There was no doubt about it. Vera must be the woman Haskell had mentioned. She must have passed me while I slept.
Well, I'm waiting.
My goose was cooked. She had me. That Haskell guy wasn't dead yet. He wasn't stretched out stiff and cold in any Arizona gully. He was sitting right there in the car, laughing like mad while he haunted me.
Well?
There was nothing I could say. It was her move. Vera, whatever her name was. It was just my luck picking her up on the road. It couldn't have been Helen, or Mary, or Evelyn, or Ruth. It had to be the very last person I should ever have met. That's life. Whichever way you turn, fate sticks out a foot to trip you. I told her everything, but she didn't believe my story. I should have saved my breath.
That's the greatest cock and bull story I ever heard. So he fell out of his car. Say, who do you think you're talking to, a hick? Listen, mister, I've been around, and I know a wrong guy when I see one. What'd you do, kiss him with a wrench?
Now, wait a minute. What I told you was true. You see, that's why I had to do it. You think I killed him? Well, the cops would have thought so, too.
Yeah, well, maybe they still think so. What makes you so sure I'll shut up about this?
Sure, I'm innocent.
I am a believer.
It won't do me any good having a pension. The cops are no friends of mine. Now there was a reward, but there isn't.
Howdy through the triangle of Bermuda, swinging your mood and your fancy pants, trying to creep on to cloud nine. I have half a mind to blow your mind, stepping through a minefield of I told you so. Tiptoe and tap shoes with so and so. Mask you face to face and nose to nose. Are you a believer?
And he pulls on the cord and strangles her through the door.
Bed, and for a long moment,
he doesn't mean to.
Nothing happens.
He doesn't mean to. He doesn't mean to.
Are they gonna go naked?
You're a nut!
Hello? Deny all connections. A metaphorical allegory. A misplaced multiplicity. On the chill room. Tonight's film was Edgar G. Ulmer's Detour. And our major declamation was from the Transparency CD, Creator of the Universe by Sun Ra. But we heard a sort of a build-up to that underneath Good Morning and the music from Detour. Good Morning from Singing in the Rain with Debbie Reynolds and Donald O'Connor and Gene Kelly. And Steve Fisk, My Head Pop, Mouse on Mars, OA. And the declamation, Creator of the Universe by Sun Ra. And then some music from Forbidden Planet. And Brigitte Bardot sang Invitango. Comitatus, Hold Out, the Cloud Blue Mix. Ergo Fizmiz and the People Like Us, Ghosts Before Breakfast. The Amazing Swirlies, an amazing song in there. Those girls, that was really interesting. House of Pancakes, or just House of Pancake. The Nocturnal Emissions, Daisy Cutter, The Swell Maps, Big Empty Field Number 2, Bunalim, Fanfare Siokala. Oh, I was playing all kinds of things there. Mimi did Between, or no, Believer did Believer. People Like Us and Wobbly did Naked Little Girl, and that was 50 Foot Hose doing Rose, about Rose C'est La Vie. And this is the Orange Symphonette doing Arabesque. So you've been listening to The Chill Room here on killradio.org. Early Sunday morning. What you doing up so late? Or wherever you are, whenever you are. Thanks for listening to this mess of my incomprehensibility. And stay tuned.